Il-pluralizmu fix-xandir, miħaj Colin Fitz, Campus FM 103.7. Il-lum sen kompli n-intervista l-Jason Zammit, il-ġimgħa l-oħra bdejna n-intervista u tkellimna dwar il-perjodu meta beda il-xandar ta' Zazuħ, 18-19 sena, u kien il-xandar ma' Calypso Radio ta' Għawdex 102.3. Naqilbu bl-Inglis, kif spiegħajna l-ġimgħa l-oħra, Jason twilet u għex ħafna snin il-Kanada, jifhem il-Malti.
Għaxin kanadis.
Il-Malti
tijaj.
Il-temtem wis. Inkunu għawnu ġurnata sħiħa.
Exactly, we'd need 17 parts.
For you to do the show.
And I wouldn't be myself. I wouldn't be honest and myself, you know.
Yeah, so Calypso changed. There are various changes over the years, the Gotterton Calypso.
Yeah.
And eventually it closed down or changed, and the frequency went to Radio Maria.
Yeah.
And then at around the same time, the frequency that used to belong to Island Sound, 101.8, it was sold to a company that first started up A3 FM.
That's right.
For about a year.
Yeah.
That station didn't last very long. Yeah. And then
it was owned by a very, very popular
industrialist.
Yes.
And then A3 FM stopped as well, and the frequency was sold to another group of people who decided to name their station Calypso.
That's
because
right.
Calypso, the Gozo Calypso, had such a good name for playing old music, sort of like 60s and 70s hits.
Yeah,
that there was a generation of Maltese people who really
and still do
love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big demographic, is it? That's right, yeah.
So that's Calypso Radio, very interesting.
For the record, I had left long before that.
Yes, exactly, because we're going back to your story.
Yeah.
So you spent a couple of years.
Only a couple of years, yeah, if that.
Calypso and Gozo.
Yeah.
But you got some really good training.
Yeah.
And then you were approached by Island Sound Radio in Malta.
That's right, because
around 95?
95, it was autumn.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't say fall. It was autumn 1995.
Yeah.
And I got a call from the now again late Jackie Storer.
Oh.
Rest in peace. Who worked with me at Calypso.
Again, she's left us, unfortunately. Cancer.
Yes, cancer.
It's claimed so many victims. And Jackie was also known as a country music singer.
She was. She was hosting the breakfast show as well as being the program controller.
Indeed. So for a couple of years, she was very well known in Malta as well.
Sure, yeah.
Thanks to Island Sound. And they decided to reach out to you to bring you to Island Sound.
Yeah. I came over for, she called me up. I went over. And of course, I said yes. You know, and it was like, I would have done it if they paid me less.
Okay.
Why? Because at the time, Island Sound was just, it was a juggernaut.
It was big.
It was 95, and I always listened to Island Sound, you know.
Not so much in the surveys, but.
No, it wasn't, but you're right.
But it had a good name.
But it did have a great name, especially with the youth, the alt youth, the rockers, partier, whatever.
Yes.
You know,
I think up till that point, Johnny had just left and been poached by
Johnny
Bay.
Was still there. Johnny was still there. He left after Terry.
Johnny Zammit. Okay.
Johnny Zammit, yes.
And Terry was still there for
exactly.
Ruja, and they were two of the more.
Yeah.
Popular.
And I replaced Terry.
Terry Ferrugia.
And it was for a lot more money than I was making in Gozo.
Okay.
And a lot more money then. I was like, you know, and I was full time.
Yeah.
And I only had to do the drive time show and the Saturday show.
Okay.
Although I did have to come in earlier, and I did, obviously. I'd go in at around 11 a.m. or 11:30.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to help around, for, you know, it would help Bernie with some production.
Bernie Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Good old friend of ours. But it was great because I had all this time. I started going to the gym every day.
And
I got into some really good shape.
You moved to Malta.
I moved to Malta with one of my best friends, still is one of my best friends, because he was he had just started with the AFM.
The AFM, a pilot.
He was a pilot. He was, yeah.
Say hello to Larry.
Yes. Became an instructor pilot. Became, top of his game, and we lived together because because he was a pilot, he convinced me, let's get a flat down south. You know, so we started in Brisabouja.
Okay.
Which was all right. It was great. It was very central.
To the airport,
You know, but I didn't have my own car, so I was busting it every day. But you know what?
You didn't mind. Okay.
It was all right.
Luckily, it was in Floriana, of course.
It was in Floriana, so it was on every bus route. So it was just, you know, it was that was Robert Samut Square, Floriana. Yes, go have a look
at it. Exactly.
Absolutely. Some say that building was haunted, remember?
I know it had lots of cockroaches in the basement.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Huge cockroaches.
Yes. No one went down there, even when they were supposed. When the power went out, because that's where the generator was.
That was the generator was,
Nobody wanted to go down
there.
Because
you'd walk down the steps, and then you'd look up, and the ceiling
was moving. Covered. Oh, my God. Couldn't we get an exterminator and give them free advertising, for God's sakes?
I don't know what happened, but I remember.
I would have done that if it was my station.
And once in a while, when you'd be in the office upstairs, because it was a very tall building with lots of stairs, and the sales office was downstairs, and the administration and studios were on the next levels. And sometimes you'd hear the sales girls downstairs screaming because a cockroach would have escaped.
And you knew exactly what it was. But those were also, even though, like Colin is saying, you know, the cockroach situation, that would never stand today in any company, right? Nobody would stand for that. But the times were so good.
Yeah.
The times were so good in the sense that, you know, like if you mention, I remember this, and Colin, you remember this too. I remember mentioning that I was hungry towards the end of the show. Let's say it was 6 o'clock, 6:30. And, you know, a big chain would call up, what do you want?
Yes, and they deliver.
And they deliver it. It's like,
whether it was a pizza or a burger.
Whatever,
or,
Well, whoever was delivering in those days.
Yes.
And it was great.
One of these big chains. Because they were also new and establishing themselves in Malta.
Yes.
It was such an exciting time.
It was such a great time. I mean, this is just before the internet.
So, the 90s, Island Sound. Your best memories of Island Sound Radio?
Wow. There's so many.
You eventually became known as Jay and Someone. Did that start an Island Sound?
No, it did not.
No.
We started that in year two of XFM.
Okay.
I'll get to that. We had, obviously, crossovers.
Uh-huh.
We had hilarious banter between either myself and Oz. DJ Ozzy.
Yeah. Who is not the singer.
Who is not the singer. Ozzy Lino. Okay.
There's a difference.
Frank West was another character.
Yeah.
Ian Vaylor.
Of course.
Yeah,
Val. It was the late 90s. By that time, I had moved on and gone to England.
Yourself as well.
But at first, the first few years,
Yes. So there was always this cross. I think that was quite novel what we were doing. There was this
at the end of one show, at the beginning of another show, there'd be a bit of banter.
Yeah. So there was always a bit of that, and that was super fun.
Yes.
You know, it. I think my favorite memories were probably doing the outside broadcasts from, like, Deep Purple. Iron Maiden.
Oh, the concert.
At Ta'ali. Alana Miles. Okay. Yeah, at Ta'ali. We were live at almost all of them.
With the Island Sound van.
I still have a recording of Deep Purple.
Oh, wow.
On a DAT tape somewhere.
Really? A bootleg?
Yeah, a bootleg. We were supposed to stop. We were supposed to stop and shut down as soon as the concert started or 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
And we did. Everything shut down. And I kept the DAT just recording because it was off on the side. But I would also be live from Bazzazza Street almost every Saturday.
From that shopping center there?
Exactly. And we were live. And, you know, people were bringing you drinks all the time. Yeah. You know, the shops around would, like, come and bring you food.
Uh-huh.
It was great. We didn't spend any of our own money in those days. You know,
of course.
We're being fed and everything. Yes. And, you know, it was great times.
And then, unfortunately, though, Island Sound changed hands. The owners and the new owners kept it going for a couple of years until 2003.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
But you were always on your own, like doing your own show. You weren't Jay and Someone.
No. The writing was on the wall
by that time,
2002, for sure.
And the last couple of years, Island Sound had started experimenting with having Maltese shows because they felt that the just 24 hours in English wasn't working for advertising.
So
Joe Tanti came on board.
That's right. Yes,
and wasn't the famous DJ as well, the house music DJ for in the evenings, Graham Charles.
Graham Charles, but he was always in English.
In English,
yeah.
But he was on board at Island
yes,
Sound.
Yes, he was
in the late 90s as well. So he was quite a big
That's
name.
That's right.
But towards the end, 2001, 2002, Island Sound was kind of losing its direction.
Yeah, yeah. The you know, the writing, again, the writing was on the wall, because we, you know, see, people were being ferried, you know, through the station for as potential buyers, and we're like, you know, what's going on?
You're doing a show, and suddenly these business people would be there.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at
You're worried about taking your next paycheck.
Of course. Yeah. Like anybody would, right?
Yeah. So the end of XFM, you were there.
Yeah, it was early 2003.
Yeah.
And I just remember, and we knew, a small group of us knew about something else on the horizon.
Oh, good. That was
to be XFM.
So you thought you had somewhere to go to?
Oh no, I didn't think. We knew. Yeah, we knew it was happening. We just didn't know when it was happening.
Okay.
Roughly, and I just remember me and.
So you weren't in despair.
Not so much. Okay. You know the old saying, right? One door closes and two opens.
Okay.
I still remember the day. I was so happy that day. You know, going to put in my resignation when I knew, you know, that this other station was opening soon, okay. Very soon.
Okay.
You know, and shortly the station just closed. Like
Island Sound, yeah. Sub broadcasting.
Yeah, and they sold it afterwards. So we kind of like left en masse, you know, before they could sort of pull the rug under from
Ozzy.
Us. Oz had already left. That's the story he can tell you about.
Okay. So who was left at the end?
It was myself. Robert was in sales, head of sales.
Yeah.
You know,
eventually ended up selling at XFM.
Cliff Brooks
come over from England.
Yeah, it was me and Rob and
Jackie
Cliff.
Storer had gone back to England by then.
Jackie had long gone. She had gone back to the UK. Okay. And there was a few part-timers and freelancers, you know, but that's about it. And the three of us were involved in the creation of
the new station, which was XFM, which the frequency was 100.2.
That's right.
The old live FM frequency.
Exactly.
And the owners were the Grimas.
That's right. The sons of the previous frequencies owner.
The minister, Joe Grima, the ex-minister. So Mark and Simon Grima.
That's right.
And they also had interest in Pudgeville and whatever. So it seemed like too good to be true that you had people who kind of understood radio,
people who
knew entertainment.
I was asked what I wanted to get paid.
Oh, wow.
And I said, is this okay? And, you know, it was like, it was that easy, you know?
So XFM started off, exciting times.
Yeah, yeah, it was great times.
In March 2003.
Yeah, and we, you know, we had a budget. I remember we had a budget of 100,000, it was pounds back then, 100,000 Maltese liri. And with the, you know, marketing. And we did everything under budget. And it was really good. It was a good feeling, you know. Yeah, obviously, we cut corners where we could cut corners, you know. But the whole vibe and sound of it, you know, we didn't cut any corners there, you know. And we brought on, you know, Oz and
Steve Joy was there.
Steve Joy came for the initial part. Yeah,
he had gone back to England and then come back to Malta.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Former Calypso presenter.
Corrine had joined us a little later on.
Yeah, because by that time Calypso had
closed. Not at the very start, but maybe a couple of years after or something like that. You know, we had a good news team. Everybody knew the business. Everybody was really charged up. It was great to feel like that again. You know,
there was a talk show on Sunday mornings.
Yeah,
people like Owen Bonici. And
that's right.
Mark Grima.
Yeah, Mark Grima, Owen Bonici.
Now a minister.
Exactly. And there were some other
personalities
and talk shows. There was something every weeknight, apart from Friday, I believe, but there was something every weeknight with that was talk based, which is great.
Yeah.
You know?
And did you start off with
breakfast?
You had breakfast.
On my own.
And the drive time was Cliff Brooks.
That's right.
Okay. And then how did it develop that you and Cliff started presenting a show together?
Good question. And thanks for remembering. So that happened after year one, roughly, maybe not a full year, but around a year later is when we brought over Carlo Borgbonacci, who was on Bay.
He had been presenting the breakfast show on Bay for many years.
And it was something that we had discussed internally. Like, you know, everybody was asked, who would you, if you could bring over anybody, who would you bring, you know? And even though it kind of shot me in the foot, I wrote Carlo, right?
Okay. to do breakfast.
It was a coup.
He would only come if he'd have the breakfast.
Exactly. And it was a coup that we got him.
But XFM was doing okay at the time.
We were doing okay. We made a lot of noise.
We made a lot of noise. Yeah.
We were doing good in ratings as well, initially, you know. We had a great, you know, Brian, I think we gave
live broadcasts from Fuego, the
we were doing the live Latino broadcasts. Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Yeah. We had some really cool shows as well. Some multinational shows, you know.
International shows. Charts and things.
Exactly. Exactly. And
I think people like Pierre Cordy now started coming, joining and doing a once a week dance show.
Yeah. Yes. It was
Matt Fenech, I remember.
That's right. Yes, even Matt Fenech. Yeah. It was fun. Yeah, it was.
Eventually, JD Patrick from.
Even Steve Caesar.
Steve Caesar, exactly.
X-Works
Lounge.
So many X-Works Lounge. So many.
Yeah. Mahoney eventually.
Yeah. And it was a really big team. But when Carlo came over, you know, we discussed what are we going to do. You know, like because I was there. I was full time. You know.
Yeah.
And Oz had his show in the midday. And we said, let's do a zoo format show.
A duo.
Like they're doing now in the UK and wherever, you know?
And everybody else is doing it now.
Yeah, it became Cliff and Jay.
Cliff and Jay
was the first adaptation of the show.
Yeah.
You know, it had many others, but that was
eventually,
the first one.
That
was the first one, yeah. And I remember
Carlo joined the breakfast.
Carlo came over at the same time Saddam Hussein was caught.
Okay.
And we used that. We got him. Remember that headline?
Yes.
We used that for the marketing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And eventually Cliff, though, left and went back to England.
Yes.
So you ended up joining up with Oz doing Oz and Jay.
That's right. It was Oz and Jay after Cliff and Jay.
And Carlo became station manager.
That's right. Yes.
Instead of Cliff Brooks.
That's right.
Yeah. You were production manager,
I think. As well, yes. Yes.
You were producing the adverts. And that went on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But then I remember...
Oz took a break. You know, I believe his second child was born.
So it was Jay and Friends.
Jay and the crew. Jay and crew.
And the crew was
which
me.
Which was you.
Yeah.
Corinne Muscat.
Yes.
And Planet Dave.
Yes, absolutely.
Who was at Sound, Bay, exactly. And A3FM.
Me being Colin Fitz. This is Il Pluralismo Fishandir on Campus FM 103.7, a program about broadcasters and radio stations and television stations that opened up in Malta after or since the pluralism law came into being in 1991. We're talking about XFM, Jason Zamit. So, yeah, XFM. So, towards the end of the 2000s, it was Jay and the crew.
Jay and crew, and then it was Jay and Lee.
And then Jay and Lee.
That's right.
So, a British DJ who was DJing at Fuego.
Yeah, and he was doing, I think he was doing like
Ali as well.
Yeah. And he was doing something with us on air. But
this is a guy from Leeds. And
that's
he
right.
ended up coming on, you know, becoming a radio presenter.
Yeah.
And eventually you and him started off.
Yeah.
So Jay and Lee.
And also had a great following. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, and it was.
You had chemistry.
We had good chemistry. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Now, Lee has ended up, he's back in the UK, married, had kids, and also is now the announcer, the official stadium announcer.
At Elland Road for Leeds United.
Leeds United.
He's the pitch announcer, for all the home games, you know.
Yeah.
And he also hosts some MMA fights and those kind of things for the local circuit, but he's doing really well, and he always sends me a message or a video call when Chelsea are in town.
Your favorite team.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to move on. So the first version of XFM came to an end around 2012, I think.
Before that, actually.
Or 2011?
Yeah, because it was then sold. It was sold.
Yeah. Or 2010.
10, even,
yes.
I think
there were some changes. Carlo left again, I think, went...
New management.
New management. But in the meantime, we had those massive XFM parties at Jampula. Didn't we?
Yes, that's right. That's before Carlo left. But yeah, that's...
Before Carlo left,
I think that was 2007 and 2008.
Yes. Bob Sinclair.
Yeah, 7,500 people.
Yeah.
Massive.
The station was doing very well.
It was doing very well, you know, and a number of reasons. I can't really go into the details because I don't have the details.
No, absolutely.
But
for whatever reason, decided to sell.
Yes.
And the frequency 100.2 got sold to... to another group of people, I believe.
Yes, some investors, yeah.
Yeah, it remained XFM for a short while and then became Solid.
Shortly after 2012, it became Solid, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Solid. And by that time, you had taken a break from radio.
Yeah, I had taken a break. I was I went into marketing, you know, in digital marketing, which is something I'm doing today, you know. But then in 2014, I was approached by someone who was going to take back that same frequency.
100.2,
and they asked me if I was interested in you know, running it and you know, hosting a show and what I would do. And I said, well, I'll do it if, you know, Oz comes back, you know, and does the breakfast show with me, for example, you know, and there was you on Drive.
Invited me to come on, yes.
And it started, you know, it was exciting. It was fun, you know, again, you know. So I committed, you know, I went all in.
So XFM, the relaunch.
It was like XFM 2.0, exactly. Yeah. Because at that time it was Solid.
And it was you and Oz again. So
it was me and Oz.
On breakfast now,
which was something we had never done.
Yes.
Yeah. And
you had established yourselves very well, I think.
Yes. We went in hard.
Yeah.
We went in hard and we just said big
prizes.
And I had a formula and I said, listen, if this is going to be done, it's going to be done this way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are going to follow suit.
Yeah.
And we got to do it the way we know how to do it. And because I think that's how a lot of people will react and either love us or hate us. But I think the majority.
And that's around the same time when other stations started having two or three presenters at the same time.
Yes, yes.
They all started sort of copying each other.
They went all in as well.
Yeah. But this time in Malta, we had a lot of companies, iGaming companies, foreign companies.
Yeah.
And there was a sort of. XFM became the kind of de facto station because it was mostly broadcasting in English for some of these iGaming companies, and you ended up being asked to present events for them when they
took
celebrities like Oliver Kahn, the goalkeeper,
right.
over.
John Anarisa joined us on the show
from Liverpool
several times.
Yeah.
we became really good friends, you know.
You became kind of the station that was followed by a lot of the. iGamers and international,
because
their
one common denominator was English, right?
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. So plus you always had your sports reports in the show,
and your
banter, a lot of good sports banter.
Yes, yes.
About football, especially.
You know,
Ozzy was Liverpool supporter. Yeah. You're a Chelsea supporter.
So we were always at each other's necks.
But the Maltese as well could relate to that.
Yes.
You know, and then you'd be teasing about Manchester United and Juventus. Yes, yes. And
sometimes it would backfire because not everybody loves sports banter.
Ah,
so we were, you know, we were painted with that sort of brush, which I just found hilarious. You know, I mean, it's banter. We would take the mick out of ourselves the most.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
But since some people were a little too sensitive
or thin-skinned, or they don't get sort of satire and irony.
And I think that, and they took it personally, which I always found funny because it's a sports team. I mean, what do you have to get sensitive about?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't own the team,
so you'd get nasty letters or
complaints, and we'd hear through third parties, you know, about. Listen, they didn't really appreciate what you said. I remember a very famous television presenter when we were making fun of. I don't know. Man United was every team goes through troubles, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who the coach was at the time or the manager.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, Oz, especially being a Liverpool fan, would really go for the jugular when it comes to Man United.
Yes.
And I remember this TV presenter went on, you know, their Facebook page, you know, to tell people to boycott us.
Oh. Oh wow.
It happened again, but later, and then even worse with fans of another team, and their chat group. And I had good friends and relatives in that group, and they were like, guys, relax. They're joking. It's comedy. It's satire.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't really care if this team does well or not.
So you found that there was still a bit of resistance.
Yeah, pushback.
To some of your kind of liberated humor.
The most recent was, I remember, I'll tell you the story because it's really quick. It was maybe midway through Donald Trump's presidential run.
Yeah.
You know, of course, if anybody knows me like you do and my history on radio, the brunt of almost every joke was always whoever the U.S. president was.
Absolutely.
Or the British Prime Minister.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Because we couldn't do it locally. Not too much. Not like today. Uh-huh. But back then we didn't take it there because we didn't want to split our audience.
Yes.
You know,
if people are going to get offended, if you talk about football teams, just imagine how offended they're going to get if you joke about local politicians.
So whether it was Clinton, whether it was, you know, Bush Senior, Bush Junior, you know, Obama, although Obama was hard to make fun of because he was, you know, for us, especially outwardly looking in, he was cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we still tried to make fun of him. And then, of course, Trump.
Yes.
You know, and I just remember getting a call from a guy who I knew for ages, and he was literally offended. And I'm trying to understand. I go, but you're not even American or have any, you've never even lived in America. I mean, I don't understand why you're upset. You know, I love your show. I love you and Oz, but I can't listen to you anymore because you're making fun of Trump. Okay. Well, what am I going to tell him? Sorry? I'm not going to say, you know. The whole world is lambasting this guy for what he says, whether you like him or not.
And it's funny.
And it's funny. You know?
Yeah.
But that's just the example of how, you know, how people.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know, nothing to stop this guy from going on his own
social media
and, you know, saying nice things about Trump.
Sure.
You know? Are you going to get offended?
Yeah. I mean, President Trump said anything he wanted to about anybody he didn't like.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello?
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay, so XFM, eventually us took a break again. And yes. So it was you and Corinne.
It was
so
me and Corinne. This was at the start of COVID.
Indeed.
It was at the start
tough
of
times.
COVID. Yeah. It was tough times for everybody, especially in commercial media, you know.
Absolutely. But it was still a successful show.
Yeah. We had a great time doing it. And most 90% of the time, it was remote as well.
Corinne Muscat in Gozo through the wonders of technology.
Oh,
you're in the studio.
And we got some of the best technology designed for just that, but for radio, okay. not like the Zooms. Or the
proper radio.
It was a proper radio stuff that we got. That was actually designed for reporters, journalists in the field.
Oh wow!
There was an app version of this, and it would turn any phone into a high definition,
fantastic
broadcasting sort of recorder, you know. Or,
and you also had Steve Healy broadcasting from London.
From London, yeah. We took advantage of that
drive.
Situation.
Yeah.
When the time came, so that was. That was great. It was a great couple of years, you know.
Unfortunately, again, la solita storia, as they say in Italian, happened to so many radio stations and even broadcasting, even TV stations since pluralism. XFM came to a close as well.
Yeah,
100.2. It's in limbo at the moment.
It's in limbo. I mean, it's still playing music, as far as I.
Anything you
told.
Can tell us about the end of XFM?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, it comes down to financials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, some promises weren't delivered, you know, so it was very hard, especially post-COVID. You know, we had to streamline, and I was doing a lot myself, and that was tough.
Couldn't employ people.
Yeah, couldn't employ the people we needed to get the ball rolling again, you know. So it was hard, and mentally it took too much.
So now you're back in doing marketing and
business development manager for a great company that.
Sure.
But yeah, we're going into different areas of digital marketing, like so many other companies, like social media management, for example. But Google Ads, you know, it's where everybody's spending a lot more of their budget now is online. You know,
but your voice is still regularly heard, even on television. Your voice is also heard in other countries because you have some contacts and you've done some work for stations in.
I did. I did in Egypt. I had a rock show on Nile FM in Cairo.
You'd send them a recording.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I did station ID work for stations in Jordan and Bahrain.
Oh, wonderful!
As well, once in Spain as well.
Okay.
On the Costa del Dosh.
I'm sure you've been offered contracts to go and.
Yes,
work.
I was actually offered a quite a lucrative contract at the time to work in Cairo on Nile FM.
But because of family responsibility.
And my then girlfriend, now wife, she sort of like convinced me. Not to go.
Yeah.
If it was today, she'd kick my butt to the curb and say, go. Just send back the money. I'm also doing a lot of voices now for Radio 1 in Abu Dhabi.
Oh.
And they broadcast in Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
Okay. So there's a chance to be somewhere on the other side of the world and we hear Jason's voice.
Yes, you will. In fact, a client of mine locally who goes to Dubai a lot for business, she called me up from her cab and said, you know, I just heard your voice on a zoo advert, Jason. I can't believe it. I'm amazed. And I jokingly told her, yeah, about that, I'm going to have to double the fee you usually give me. No, I'm joking. I didn't say that.
Fantastic.
She's brilliant.
And any chance of having you back on local radio anytime soon?
There's a chance. I've been offered a couple of things.
Okay, so.
But it's still up in the air.
Watch the space.
Watch the space, yeah.
Very good. Jason, Jason Zamit, it's been a great pleasure talking to you.
And you, sir. Thank you for having me.
The story of you on radio, television, any television at all?
I mean, there have been appearances, but no, I'm not.
You've never done TV?
I have a face for radio, right?
So Jason Zamit on Il Pluralismo Vishandir on Campus FM 103.7. Grazie, Hafna, Jason.
You're welcome.
Jina Colin, nirritorna l-ġimad diħla b'intervista oħra ma personalita oħra tinsewġ dal-program jitella fuq il-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM.